And I want to remind you of what we have coming up for next week. I know that there was a little bit of confusion probably for some of you with regards to a guest we had scheduled for this week. Originally, on Friday, tomorrow, we were going to be speaking with, well, I was going to be speaking with, and she was going to be our guest, Dr. Angela Pathia Walsh. She was going to be talking with us about addiction. And we needed to change the schedule. Something came up, and so we switched it to Tuesday of this week, Tuesday the 7th. We were going to speak with each other on Tuesday. We were ready to go, but not all the equipment was, and so we've had to reschedule again. So we are scheduled to speak with each other next Tuesday, the 14th. Dr. Pathia Walsh, she's going to help us understand what addiction is about, what's really going on. You know, I just want to ask you, when a person is addicted, is it all about attitude? Is it partly about attitude and partly about something else? Is it all about something other than attitude? We'll be having that discussion. And Dr. Pathia Walsh is going to just break that and other factors pertaining to addiction down for us. So I definitely want you to be prepared to join us next Tuesday. I'll also have another discussion next week that will focus on addiction. The focus will be on internet addiction. Who would have thought it? When we first started accessing the internet years and years ago, did any of you foresee the day that we would be talking about internet addiction? Who is prone to becoming addicted to the internet? Certain social classes, certain genders, certain ethnicities. We're going to be talking about that and more when I'm joined by Dr. Latrice Fowler next Wednesday, the 15th. So next Wednesday, we're going to have a couple of discussions about addictions. We're also going to have a couple of discussions about nutrition. On Monday, the 13th, I'll be joined by Kate Davis, and I'll speak with her about nutrition and how to focus on proper nutrition for our child athletes. Yeah, there are certain things that we really need to know in order to benefit them, to help them move forward the best they can as they pursue their athletic interests. Kate Davis, who works with Olympic athletes, Olympic teams, who works with colleges, who works with professional athletes, who herself is an accomplished athlete, including in the triathlon, highly regarded for her expertise in the field of nutrition. She will be our guest Monday the 13th. Then, looking at nutrition on just a general sense, I'll be joined by Dr. Bill Karp on Thursday, next Thursday the 16th. So, on Monday, Kate Davis talking with us about nutrition and our child athletes. Tuesday the 14th, Dr. Pathia Walsh will be talking with us about addictions. Wednesday the 15th, Dr. Latrice Fowler will talk about internet addictions. And Dr. Bill Karp will join us to talk about nutrition in a general sense. And he's going to also zero in on the Mediterranean diet. How many of you have really been wanting to get the 411 on the Mediterranean diet? We know we have so many diets out there that people say are fads and nothing more. What about the Mediterranean diet? You get a chance to hear about that next Thursday. Now, one more thing about next week. I know that generally, most of the time, we provide Wednesday as the day that we replay 1 hour of Sunday's broadcast for the benefit of our members, our listening members who really like to hear Sunday's broadcast and prefer to hear it by way of radio. But they're in church and or they're on their way to dinner or at dinner following church service, at the time that the broadcast is running. And so in order to accommodate them, we usually run 1 hour of that on Wednesday. But of course, as I've mentioned before, I like to give priority to our guests when it comes to scheduling. And so we do plan, I do plan to run that hour of the broadcast, and we'll still be exploring communicating with God. But next week, the plan is to run it on Power Friday. So on Friday of next week, that's when I plan to run that 1 hour's broadcast of communicating with God, of spiritual perspectives. Now, that said, I do want to remind you that if, you know that there's something that you want to hear, but you won't be able to join us for whatever the reason. Maybe you're going to be out of town at a conference. No problem. Just go to speakingwith.com and click on listen online at your convenience. You can go scroll through that and see what we will have been talking about. Click on the broadcast of your choice. We also, on Sunday evenings, usually have the schedule for the week's guests and topics up and at them, so that if you want to know in advance what we have, or you may have heard me discuss it the week prior, but you don't remember what was discussed, maybe you didn't have a chance to record it. No problem. Just go to speakingwith.com and just click on this week's guests and topics, and it will be there for you. All right. Now, back to the future of art. What are your thoughts about this whole notion of, if a person wants to do art, should they have the freedom to do art for whatever reason they want to and attach to it whatever meaning they choose? Or should it be art for art's sake and not have specific ideological or other causes attached to it? What are your thoughts? I shared with you what my thinking is on it. That's my thinking, but what are your thoughts? Well, this whole notion of activism not being the point of art, this is a viewpoint that's committed to art as a force on its own. It's a process of radical experimentation that results in an artwork, one of many along a line of inquiry, not a means to illustrate an end or impregnate an object with meaning. Again, I got to ask you, what about religious art? How many of you had the opportunity to follow Thomas Kincaid years ago when he was really, really being promoted, he and his artwork? Didn't it have meaning? What about some of the artwork that we see on so many greeting cards? Is that artwork without meaning? I'm just putting this out there. Some people say no conclusions should be drawn about art, present or future, because it's the force against universalism, which must be interrupted by artists as if to tell the world, wake up. Well, in 2 decades' time, it will have been 200 years since Paul Delaroche exclaimed, painting is dead. And there are reasonable arguments against how relevant the medium is as a tool of the avant-garde. Delaroche's original idea has been repeated and recycled endlessly as new mediums have worked their way into and out of the spotlight. The painting likely isn't going to be going anywhere. Painting sales are still the major driver of auction houses, art fairs, and galleries, dominating all record-breaking art sales. Modern paintings made during the first half of the 20th century continue to hold steady as the most desirable and most expensive artworks on the market. 9 of the 10 most expensive paintings ever sold were made between 1892 and 1955, the only exception being a newly discovered Leonardo da Vinci from between 1490 and 1519, which fetched $450 $1.3 million at auction, making it the most expensive artwork ever. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I did say almost $500 million. Can you imagine one painting selling for almost half a billion dollars? Almost half a billion for one painting. When it comes to these most expensive paintings, one of the points that they make out is that every painting on the list was made by a white man, and that doesn't paint a very hopeful picture for equality. In 20 years, the market might not be very different than it is today, dominated by modern painting, but perhaps works from the second half of the 20th century, including more women and minority artists, will begin to accrue value. Again, now, some people might disagree, but let me just ask you this. What do you say? Do you think that when it comes to the value placed on art, that maybe that is something that is highly subjective? Or do you think that it is purely objective? Scientific? Or, to go back to my question, do you think that it is purely subjective? The quality is in the eye and the heart of the beholder. Because if that's the case, there's no reason that we should not be able to see prices for art done by women, art done by people of color, rise significantly. All right, back in a few.